wieners. It's a walk wieners. It's a walk wieners.
Welcome to Award Wieners, the coronavirus edition. I'm John, joined by the socially distanced but still loved David. This is our night at the Oscars, where we watch Oscar-winning movies while enjoying Oscar Mayer wieners. Or it was until the coronavirus tore us apart. In this episode, we talk about how we're managing the pandemic and social distancing. And maybe, just maybe, we'll talk about something to do in quarantine that you haven't already tried. I know that list is getting smaller. Dave and I are pretty lucky. We both have been able to stay at home. We realize that this is a privilege that not everyone has been afforded. If you're one of the people out there delivering packages, food, or in healthcare, you are awesome. We hope that you are staying safe and healthy because you're keeping the rest of us that way. Dave, how are you doing?
Honestly, this pandemic has been incredibly stressful on me. I'm not sleeping very well. It's been hard. And I know that that has to be the same for a lot of people out there. How about you?
I feel like it's stressful and anxiety inducing just because everything in the news, I am just rolling with it as best I can. I do my social distancing. You know, that's all we can do. We're just rolling with the punches.
It's about reframing what's going on. I keep telling myself this is necessary to get through it. And I keep thinking of it as I might be stressed now, but I would be more stressed later. Sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. I feel really good one day and then just the next day I'm like, I don't want to get out of bed. This is horrible.
It's only temporary. That's one way to think about it, but it's for the greater good. So you're helping all sorts of other people by staying at home. It's not fun, sure. You're saving lives in the process.
Yeah.
This is like the only time you can do nothing and save lives.
Do nothing and save lives. That's very true. America does love heroes. And right now, staying home makes you a hero.
That's right. So, Dave, why are we doing a coronavirus episode, it not really being a movie yet?
Yeah, well, yet. Right now, there are thousands of screenwriters writing their coronavirus edition. Right now, someone's out there like, Adam Sandler does coronavirus. That's what they're writing. So why are we doing this? A couple of different reasons. The first is that we've gotten a lot of messages from our listeners asking us how we're doing. Everyone knows that John and I are in big cities. I am in New York City. That is the epicenter of the outbreak in the United States. So it's very, very hectic here. And John, you're in DC. I don't know how bad it is there.
It's been tame, I would say, by comparison. I think the numbers are relatively low. It was slower to come here, and they acted faster because they saw what happened in other places. I would say generally not bad.
Yeah, I mean, along those lines, you know, I am feeling a little sad and anxious about all this, but in general, I'm fine compared to many, many other people out there. So we're doing this one for one reason, because we wanted to update everyone, just let you know what's going on in our lives and how we're handling this. And then the second reason is because we wanted to help you pass the time and share with you just some stuff we're doing in quarantine. And then I guess the third thing for this is me personally, I miss socializing with people. So this is an opportunity for me to process what is happening.
So you're hanging out with me?
Yes. How many people do you talk to in a day? I talk to Sarah, my girlfriend, and my neighbors, and that's it.
You know, working from home, I'm lucky enough to do that. I am in touch with my coworkers. So we are chatting, video chat, those kind of things, having virtual happy hours every now and again, just catching up with family in the evenings, those kind of things too.
Well, that's good. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who don't have that opportunity to speak very often to people. So guys, I know that you're used to this being a movie podcast and we have a very strict format, but we're going to throw that out the window for this episode. This is how it's going to work. I would like you to think of this as the podcast equivalent of sweatpants. This is loose fit. This is relaxed. This is wheeling and dealing. John and I are chatting.
I haven't taken a shower yet today, Dave.
Good. Well, I didn't shower for 3 days.
There you go. Yeah.
In the middle of all this, our shower started leaking on top of our neighbors. So then we had to stop showering for a little bit.
Is that fixed?
It got fixed. Yeah, we got it fixed. Okay. But it was just like, Jesus Christ, another thing. So first up is food facts. What is going on at grocery stores? I'm going to talk about an article by Time. This talks about what Americans are purchasing, a year-over-year comparison. And John, can you guess the number one food item?
Sold every year?
Highest percentage jump year over year.
Oh, the biggest increase in a single item.
Yeah.
What are the hipster trends these days? Hot sauce. I don't know, man.
That's actually a really good guess. Hipsters are in the hot sauce. It's oat milk.
Gross.
Yeah, I really just like oat milk. I'll run through the rest of them. So number one is oat milk, followed by fresh meat alternatives. I looked that up.
That makes sense. I mean, like, if you look at like stocks and things like that, Beyond Meat, they've got like the biggest growth in terms of sales and things like that.
Yeah. So fresh meat alternatives, powdered milk is number three. And coming number four is the good old standby dried beans. So we talked about this a little bit, John, but
hold on. What makes powdered milk? Why is that a thing?
I don't know. I didn't look it up. It's probably used in multiple different things, and it's a catch-all category. We've talked about this in previous podcasts, and I've completely forgot it at this point. Oat milk is generally popular at the moment. Same with Beyond Meat. So that's not surprising that those saw such a giant leap in year-over-year sales. Dried beans coming in number four sort of shows what's going on with the pandemic. People are buying food that is non-perishable and that will last a long time. And beans are always one of those staples. I know I stocked up on them. John, what have you gone out and purchased for the pandemic?
I don't really think I'm changing my eating habits necessarily. I feel like it's more cooking at home.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to make sure I have the ingredients on hand to do what I usually do.
In terms of what I purchased, I definitely stocked up on beans. I went to the grocery store and bought $150 worth of food to last us for the next while. Beans were a big one. So I have four or five different varieties of beans. I should say that I eat more beans than the normal person. I like them a lot, and I make beans and rice on a regular basis. I'm not exactly hoarding. I'm just getting more of what I usually eat.
You have to buy more if you're eating in more.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I have scaled up what I've purchased. I would say my refrigerator is more full than it's probably ever been, just because I'm usually not buying things for a week at a time. I'm usually buying things for a few days at a time.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I'm picturing your refrigerator and it's always bare bones.
I live two blocks from two grocery stores. I usually just go on my way home from something if I need to pick up stuff.
What was your experience like shopping? I know you said you haven't done it much.
I've been trying to order things online and have them delivered, but I've recently run into some issues where there are no available delivery slots. There's a Safeway around the corner from me. That's just a grocery store chain. I go at night, so I go later in the day, like 11 p.m., and I found it not to be too crowded. There is no toilet paper. There is no paper towels, but I've not had too much trouble finding other things. So bread is available. Meat is available. Eggs are around. Maybe not oat milk, but I haven't looked.
It's been hit or miss here. So on Wednesday, I went to go shopping to get stuff for the week. And my local store was just sold out of basically everything. There was hardly any meat left. A lot of snack food just gone. A lot of beans gone. They were left with pinto beans, and I'm not a big fan of pinto beans. But it was completely gone. So I went to Whole Foods instead. And that was stressful, but they had everything. And then this morning, I didn't have everything. I need to go back to get the last couple of things. I showed up at 8:30. The place opens at 9. There was a line at least 80 people deep, each standing 6 feet apart, that wrapped around the parking lot. The manager was at the front door letting people in a couple at a time when other people leave. And she was like, this is not a normal time. So you need to get in, get your stuff, get out, touch as few things as possible. The place was only every other cash register was open. Plexiglass in front of the people. They wipe down everything as soon as someone goes through it. It was crazy. I mean, I got back today and I told Sarah, I'm not going back. Whatever we have is what we're going to make it through for the rest of this, because it's too stressful for me to even think about it.
They've done that at the grocery store here too, where they've got markings on the ground so that you know what 6 feet is apart from the next person in line. I think it was Trader Joe's. They've basically put arrows on the ground and you walk through the entire store in one direction through all the aisles and then come to the checkout so that you don't bump into anyone.
So smart.
It's like one-way aisles kind of thing. I haven't really had to deal with any of that because I've been doing my best to try to just order things and have them delivered to just avoid that mess.
Speaking of ordering things, that's a problem here too, but we haven't been ordering. I read an article recently that talked about how people are luring Instacart shoppers with giant tips. And then once they deliver the food, changing those tips to zero. So they'll say, we'll give you a $50 tip if you go out and get these things for us. And then as soon as they deliver it, they drop it to zero.
I don't see how they should be able to do that.
Yeah, it's horrible. The article I read, it was on CNN.com. So he was talking about this woman. She's like, I am risking my health to do this because my family needs the money. You are actively harming me by changing these tips to zero. She's like, I would have never gone out there if I'd done it for a regular amount. So if you are someone who does that, fuck you. Don't do that. If you know someone who does that, shame them. Shame them hard.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Hard.
I read another article on USA Today, and they're talking about how there's an increase in snacky foods, like things that people like when they're younger. And that caused me to think about comfort food. So, John, do you have any comfort foods that you might want to eat during this time?
This is an interesting behavioral thing. So when you order online, I do not put junk food in my cart ever. When you're browsing a store, you might be like, oh, yeah, I want some Oreos or something. I get none of that. That doesn't mean I don't want something, but I don't know if I have like a go-to comfort food.
Interesting. Yeah. I can jump in here while you think about it.
Okay.
So something that I've been craving a lot is roast beef. And I know that is sort of strange, but when I was younger, my grandmother would make pot roasts, and those pot roasts would be served with mashed potatoes and white bread, corn and green beans. I always think about that when I'm incredibly stressed. So I made that recently. And one of the things that I think is very peculiar to my family, when it was pot roast night, my grandmother would make mashed potato sandwiches for my brother and I, mostly for my brother, but I'd had them sometimes too. Can you guess what a mashed potato sandwich is, John?
Mashed potatoes on bread?
It's close. I mean, you're basically it's it, but it is Wonder Bread with mashed potatoes in the middle. Another slice of Wonder Bread. You cut it diagonally. You put a scoop of mashed potatoes in the middle of that diagonal, and then you cover it in gravy.
That's a lot of starch.
It is. And as a kid, it was amazing. It has no texture. It's just goop. It's just potato and gravy.
White on white on white.
Yeah. And I have been unable to get that out of my mind for the last like couple weeks because I'm like, oh, I really want a mashed potato sandwich. That would make me feel good.
I've not tried that. Someone else was talking about that at Thanksgiving this year, too. And that was a thing that they did in their family.
That's one of my main comfort foods. My everyday comfort food, like one that doesn't require a lot of prepping and cooking, is just spaghetti and meatballs. That's my favorite food. I could eat that anytime. And I've had that at least once a week since I've been quarantined. So, John, one thing that's happening, Americans are hoarding something.
They are.
Yeah.
They're hoarding toilet paper. Dave, why do you think people are having trouble getting toilet paper, and why do you think they're hoarding it?
They might be hoarding it because people are finally eating their own cooking. That's not my joke. I stole that off of Twitter, but I wish it was. That's a really good question, John. From what I understand, we aren't running low on supplies of this, but it feels like Ouroboros, like the snake eating its tail. It's like people saying we need toilet paper, which is creating memes, that's creating anxiety, which is getting people to buy toilet paper, which is starting the process all over again.
You're right. It's a conspiracy by the big toilet paper manufacturer.
Yes, yes. Do you have an actual reason?
I do. So I was reading this in the Washington Post. Some of this is based on speculation, but I feel like there's credibility to this. They were trying to do their research. So what you were saying is people are worried that they will run out. So they're buying it. And then that drives like that, oh man, it's like the in item. I don't see it in a store anywhere. I'm going to buy as much as I can find when I can find it. The other half of this is that we are also using more toilet paper at home because we are at home more. The way toilet paper has been distributed typically in the world is that companies, you know, like your office or whatever, are buying like industrial size rolls of toilet paper and putting them in the bathrooms there. The shift to make more toilet paper for home consumption hasn't happened. There's still a lot of industrial toilet paper, if you will, but the soft, tiny toilet paper for your home, not as much. It's like a supply chain problem where the type of toilet paper we need doesn't exist. It's still basically in the supply chain for businesses and offices, but we don't have any in the home use supply chain.
Well, that just illustrates a point, John.
What's that?
Always take a dump on company time.
That's right, man. That's the best way to get paid.
That's absolutely the best way. I never would have thought about that. That's really interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Toilet paper exists, but your best bet, I don't know if I should share this information, is to probably order an industrial roll from some like business supplier and have that shipped to your house.
Smart. Or use the three seashells.
Yeah, use the three seashells. Or just order some sandpaper if you're going to go that route. Get the high grit. It's a little little smoother.
Absolutely. This Polish podcast is hole. Off the rails. Yeah.
All right, man. How are you reducing stress in your life?
Doing everything I can. It's sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So one of the major things I'm doing is that I am taking a walk each morning. I'm being very careful to do that. As everyone knows, NYC is on basically lockdown. So I go out pretty early in the morning. I wear a mask. I walk almost in the middle of the street. If I see someone, I try to stay farther than 6 feet away. But I try to do it every single day, and it helps me feel like I'm getting out. So one thing I've noticed I wanted to chat about real quick is that some people do not understand 6 feet. And I've noticed that it's predominantly white dudes. When I'm walking, they will come walking straight towards me. Someone has to move, right? It's like a game of Corona Chicken. But it just drives me nuts. It's like I'm always stepping out of the way.
I have not seen that here in DC, but there's always like a group of people that somehow do not understand that they can't walk across the entire sidewalk. Oh. Like they need to go single file. I see that more than I see anything else. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Stand on the far side of the sidewalk. I stand on the other side of the sidewalk. You know, just get out of the way, folks. You don't need to congregate. You shouldn't be.
Yeah. So you're doing walks as well.
So I do it in the later in the day and no one's out. Absolutely no one.
Yeah. So here it's a ghost town. Everything's shut down. Nothing's open. It's not too hard, but it's got to pay attention.
Right.
Another thing that I'm doing to reduce stress is I have created a schedule.
That sounds very stressful, actually, Dave.
I felt like having something to do at specific times has helped me schedule and organize my day.
Okay.
So I do my walk in the morning. I do some writing at specific times during the day. I have a happy hour scheduled every day at 7 p.m. with my neighbors. And we have been going up to my roof, drinking our mocktail or our fake mocktail and clapping with everyone else and just chatting and for 15, 20 minutes.
It's the quarantini.
Yeah, the quarantini. So when this whole clapping thing started, so in the cities, everyone's clapping at 7 p.m. There wasn't hardly any people. But as the quarantine has dragged on, the clapping has become more and more. It was really loud yesterday. People were honking their horn and cheering.
They are cheering on healthcare workers, correct, Dave?
Yeah, I believe it's the shift change, the 7 o'clock shift change.
Okay.
And it's a way to cheer them on. But I also think it's like a way to connect with everyone in your area. We're all still here, so it's for them, but it's also a little bit for you.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Have you done anything like that?
I have not seen that happen here in DC.
Have you tried to schedule your day? I know you have work, so it's a little bit different.
I would say my day is not that different than my typical work day. I work from home most of the time. The difference is I don't go to the gym. That was like kind of how I got out of the house during the day. I'm just doing that at home now. I never am that scheduled in any capacity, I guess.
Cool. So one thing I also do, I've seen other people do this, is that I have drastically limited my interactions on Twitter and Facebook, but not Instagram. I'm all over the Instagram. But I've found that Twitter, which is a platform I absolutely hate and I have railed against numerous times, increases my anxiety by a lot. Facebook, not as much, but still increases it. So I've decided to just push that out of my life for the time being.
That's good. I kind of don't do those things for the same reason. It just seems to be like a weird echo chamber of things. I mean, along those lines, I've been taking breaks from the news because it's pretty much all Corona. I can see how it induces anxiety. I've seen it in some people I know, like the articles they're sharing and some of the conversations we've had. They seem very stressed out about what's happening. The news that they're reading, there's something inaccurate about it, but just reading all of it, is going to make you think that the world is ending.
Yeah, we're not in a great place, but the world is going to continue after this.
One Corona article a day is probably as much as you need.
15 minutes of Twitter time and then out.
That's right.
Interesting. Speaking of news, but how do you think this is going to affect movies? I'm asking because I've read a couple articles that AMC, the largest movie theater chain in the United States, thinks it's going to have to file for bankruptcy.
I'm wondering if we will see more releases direct to video on demand.
I mean, the big story right now is that Trolls 2 was released on demand, which really annoyed the theater seller associations, essentially because it was a first run movie that they thought they would eventually get to the theaters and draw money, but the studios just directly released it. This might cause a shift in how we view content going forward, because there's going to be movies that it's going to be released on streaming, and it might get rid of the stigma that people have for releasing streaming first.
If you and I rent a movie and watch it together, even if the rental is $20, the movie studio that put it out is still out money. Yes. Or let's say you're an entire family and you rent Trolls 2, and even if it's $20 and you've got six kids, that's a lot of money that's not in Hollywood's pocket. So that would radically alter the amount of money they have to make future movies too.
So John, let's move in to entertainment. These are the things that I've been doing to pass the time. One of the things that I've done is re-download Magic the Gathering for my computer. I'm playing a version of it called Arena. It is a ton of fun, but I think I have to be careful. So I have downloaded and deleted this application from my computer several times. I get way too into it. For the listeners out there, I've played this game for a very long time, and I just have to moderate myself. But I love it. I love it so much. I think there's an opportunity for esports to really grow during the quarantine.
I'm not going to watch you play this
game. You should. You should. You can hear me yell at the computer and do dumb stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's a different story. I'm not going to watch your screen as you flip cards.
I'll just do Twitch. I'll be on Twitch, you know. I can be humorous.
All right, sell it. Get on there.
OnlyFans, Twitch.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What's something you're doing?
Video game wise, I played Disco Elysium, which is probably the first video game I've played in a while. And I keep thinking about buying the new Doom game, but I feel like if I look at my Steam backlog, I should just play a game in there. I've got maybe 10 games I haven't played yet.
Yeah. So I want the new Doom game too. My thinking on it is it'll drop the $20 relatively quickly. Yeah, I can wait. I can wait.
By the time I really get around to it, it'll be $20.
And then I'm going to just crush everyone. I love Doom. I'm also been reading. I'm the type of person who, when things are kind of negative, I want to read positive things. So I've been reading short essays by David Sedaris. I'm reading Me Talk Pretty One Day. I've found that I need a mood enhancer and that my attention span has decreased since I've been stuck inside. His essays are very short and I can get through them like one a night.
I saw him at the Kennedy Center before we had to quarantine ourselves.
Oh, good for you.
I've been listening to Harry Potter audiobooks as I paint. And what am I painting? Glad you asked, Dave.
It's not Bob Ross.
It should be. So I've taken up Warhammer 40,000, which is the perfect hobby for having people avoid you.
You've tried to get me to do it several times, and I am not going to do that game. I'm already addicted to magic.
For those of you that don't know, it's a tabletop miniature war game where you basically build, paint, and pit your army against another person. I find that the hobby aspect of it, the painting, to be very relaxing. It's one of those zen stress release things. And it also provides you with a creative outlet. So you're coming up with color schemes and learning new painting techniques, great lighting effects or textures, things like that. And part of the hobby is having a pile of shame. So that's like boxes of unassembled and unpainted things in your closet. I've gotten through a lot of that pile.
Good for you, man. I couldn't do it.
There's also the whole narrative is the grim, dark future and everything sucks and everything is pain. I feel like it kind of fits in with our current state of mind.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Glad to see that we're on the same page nerd-wise.
So what else are you doing, Dave?
I've recently started rewatching Star Trek The Next Generation, and I have found the show's idealism extremely comforting. I have seen bits and pieces of this series, but this is my first time watching it straight through. I am absolutely loving it. Pro tip for anyone who's interested, skip the first two seasons. I actually skipped ahead to the end of the third season. From there, the quality is very high.
I'm watching Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, really?
I would say it's... I like Next Generation better.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen all of Voyager.
Okay, so this is one I have not watched before, really, at all. It's very, very similar to Next Generation, I feel.
It feels like a ripoff. Honestly, I'm like, oh.
Like a lesser version, exactly. For sure.
Yeah, that's when they brought Jerry Ryan in. They're like, oh, we need to make this different.
It's not bad, but it's not new.
I will have seen almost everything. I didn't make it through Disco, but I'm going to pick that back up. I loved Picard. Have not done any, zero of Enterprise. I know absolutely nothing about it, so I can't comment on it. Another thing I've been doing, we've been doing, Netflix Party. You want to talk about that, John?
It was fun. So it adds like a little chat box through your web browser. You have to do it at a computer. You send each of your friends a link, and it syncs up the place in the movie with everyone who has joined the Netflix party. So Dave and I and our other friend Mike watched The Matrix in three separate locations. This little app synced up the movie for all of us, so we could each be at the same point in the movie as we were watching it together.
Yeah. Quick retro review. How was The Matrix?
It's still good. I liked it too.
It's way better than I remember. That movie is very transgressive. Looking back on it.
It is. I think we didn't realize, but it totally makes sense now.
Absolutely. Highly recommend checking that out. I am excited for the fourth one. I'm going to go back and watch the next two Matrixes too, just so I can complete my rewatch.
You don't need to do that.
I know I don't, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
Productivity. We're going to move to things that we're doing. I have a quick note here. It's okay if you aren't feeling productive. We are under a great deal of stress, and people cope with that in different ways. Don't feel the need to learn a different language. Don't feel the need to fill every waking hour of your day with something. It's okay if you are sad, if you want a nap, if you need things that are comforting. I think there's the segment of the social media sphere who are really into pushing productivity. Not everyone has that privilege to be able to do that.
Or desire. It doesn't matter.
So if you don't want to do these things, don't. So John, what some of the things I'm doing, I'm taking some free online classes. I'm taking a stats class right now. I'm interested in writing movie articles using statistics. So I'm taking a stats class.
What is the p-value of you completing that class?
I've already done one of them. So I don't know.
So how confident are you? What's your confidence interval?
My confidence interval is not 95%. It's probably more around the 63%. It's hard. The first class was much easier than the second. And this is part of a series of free classes.
That's cool. I've been doing the same for work. Actually, I've been taking stats classes.
Cool. So I've been writing. I'm working on a short story collection. Big thing I'm doing right now is working on a novella. It's a horror novella. So we'll see how that goes. I'll update the podcast.
When are we going to get this, Dave? When can I put this on my Kindle?
I probably won't be done with the full draft of everything until June.
June 2040. Are you on the George R. R. Martin schedule?
Oh my God. No, I'm definitely not. I imagine I have a first draft of everything due. Right now I'm working on that novella, which I talked about in the previous podcast. I have a first draft of that done. And by first draft, I really mean fourth draft. I'm pretty confident in it. And then finally, I'm making memes for Instagram. Come check out our page. I do dumb stuff every day.
He does. Dave, I think you're very ambitious and you've listed some ambitious things. As Dave was saying, if you don't feel like doing that, you don't have to. For me, how I feel productive, I'm trying to do like one or two chores in a day. So that's just like sort of keeping up the maintenance pieces in your daily life. And that's cleaning something in the house, taking out the trash, whatever it is, just to maintain some semblance of order. I also am just trying to read. I've got a giant stack of magazines that's been collecting. I've got a comic book backlog. I've got books I'm supposed to get through. I just try to do that for a little bit every day. And I feel accomplished if I do some of those.
You wrote the next section, John. How do we help others during this time?
One of the things that I was thinking about was how can we help the people who are your bartenders or waitresses? And in my instance, the person that cuts my hair, I'm sending what I would send them every time I get my hair cut. I consider it as an advance on the next haircut. So I'm tipping for the next thing that they will do. I can support them. And if you can too, I would encourage you to do that.
I am over tipping on anything we order again, we're not ordering too much, but if that pizza man shows up, he's getting a big tip.
That's great.
And there's been a couple of times where I have gone into a coffee shop, one of the few that's still opening, and leaving like a $10 tip for a $2 cup of coffee. Are you ready to talk about movies?
Of course.
Always, right? What I've done is that I've created a list of movies that are available to stream across several different platforms, and I've divided them into two things. Feel-good movies to make you laugh. Then I've also found thematic movies, and those are movies that relate more to the pandemic. Some people, I guess, enjoy watching things. It's like why people liking horror movies, sort of, right? It builds a sense of catharsis.
Does it? Or they just like being scared?
I mean, I totally get it. I like horror movies and I write horror stories, so... But this feels a little too real for me, so I'm only on the happy end. I've divided this into Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix. So here's some movies on Amazon that will make you feel good. First up, The Birdcage, followed by The Big Sick. And then there is Bridget Jones's Diary. John, have you seen any of those?
I've seen all of them, I think. I might not have seen Bridget Jones's Diary.
I particularly like The Birdcage. Laughed and laughed and laughed last time I watched that. Highly recommend it. It's probably my favorite one on that list.
I like that one too.
Following that is Hulu, and we have The Full Monty, Bumblebee, and Hackers. I wanted to create sort of a weird list here. I put Hackers on there just for nostalgia value. It is so dumb, but it's also amazing. And then The Full Monty, the premise behind it is so ridiculous. Essentially, a bunch of British guys are going to put on a striptease to raise money. If you were alive at a certain point in time, that movie was memed across other media a lot. Next up, we have Netflix. Groundhog's Day, absolute favorite. Can't go wrong with that. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That won our Golden Frank 2 years ago?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a fantastic movie. I highly recommend it. I can't wait for the sequel. And this one is a little bit of a curveball, but Always Be My Maybe. I'm including this strictly for the Keanu Reeves cameo. And it's amazing.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that one.
It's Keanu Reeves playing Keanu Reeves, but he's a version of himself, like a really crazy version of himself. Sort of like how Neil Patrick Harris played Neil Patrick Harris in Harold and Kumar. And you have some rentals for us?
These were things that were not available on one of the streaming services, but I watched this the other day. I still like the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's starting to show its age a little bit in some of the jokes, but it's still pretty funny. And our next weekend watch, Dave, is District 13. And then if you have not seen Avatar The Last Airbender, the animated series, not Avatar James Cameron or Avatar The Airbender movie, watch it. It's good for kids as well. It's enjoyable. The sequel, The Legend of Korra, is good too. So check those out. I think you have to rent those or buy them to stream them.
I absolutely love that series. It is one of the best animated shows I've ever seen, period. It's fantastic.
Boom. Dave says so.
Double approve. Double wieners. So next up is some thematic movies that you can stream. So on Amazon, we have I Am Legend with Will Smith, Train to Busan, which is a zombie movie. Basically, a bunch of people are trapped on a train to Busan and they have to fend off zombies. It is highly, highly underrated. I really recommend you watch this. Then for me, I wanted to include Escape from New York because New York feels like...
You're trapped in a prison colony and Snape Plissken has to come save you?
Yep, that's exactly it. All those are great. Do you have any you would recommend?
The theme here seems to be sort of post-apocalyptic futures, yep. Right? I would say Demolition Man. It's got a lot of humor to it.
And no toilet paper.
And no toilet paper. They have seashells.
So on Netflix, I have two movies for you. The first one is Outbreak, and that's a movie about Ebola. Cabin Fever, they have the remake. You can watch the remake, but if you can find the original, I highly recommend the original over the remake. Have you seen Cabin Fever, John?
No, I don't think so.
It stars one of the actors from Boy Meets World, and they get a skin-eating virus. Very disturbing. Eli Roth directed it. I mean, it's a good horror movie. In terms of Hulu, we have 12 Monkeys. There's a virus that kills mankind. 28 Days Later, a virus that makes not zombies, but everyone knows they're zombies. It also introduced the idea of the fast zombie. And then World War Z, which is more zombies. Finally, here's one that's been making the rounds on the inner tubes. Contagion is on Hulu. I have not seen this movie. It's about a pandemic that breaks out. It stars Jude Law. That movie is being written about all over Instagram, all over social media. Everyone's talking about it. I have not seen it, and I'm not going to get to it anytime soon. And I have a couple more movies to recommend, and these are movies that take place in one setting, just like how everyone is stuck in their house or apartment. So first up, we have Cube, which is about a bunch of people stuck in a Rubik's Cube. It's a murder cube. They have to get out. It's an independent film. I absolutely love it. You should check that out. 12 Angry Men, supposedly one of the best films ever made about people on a jury. Not a movie about people on a jury, but just one of the best films ever made, period. Rear Window, Hitchcock. We have Saw, Trapped in a Room. 1408, Stephen King adaptation of Someone Trapped in a Hotel Room. Pontypool. Pontypool is the most interesting movie on this list. It is about a virus that drives people crazy. It's a Canadian production. It takes place in a town called Pontypool. And the main character is a TV host who is basically telling everyone what is happening as he gets the reports. Very cool. Sort of hard to find, though. Finally, we have Room, which is the Brie Larson vehicle about a woman who's trapped in a room. Very disturbing.
Did she get an Oscar for that? I think she might have.
She's definitely nominated. I don't know if she got it.
All right. Anything else to share with people before we go off into our quarantine?
In the last episode, we said we were going to do Deer Hunter next. We have changed our mind. We're going to do a shorter, lighter movie. We're going to do Marty instead. I actually asked to do this because I felt like it was too many serious movies in a row. And that coupled with the pandemic, I was not in the right mind space. And I felt like we needed something a little bit different. So we're going to do Marty.
Deer Hunter is an intense
movie. It is an intense movie. And I want to give it justice. I don't want to just watch it and then spit out an episode. I want to actually be able to pay attention. And I don't think I can do that at the moment.
And on top of that, there's a 4K Blu-ray edition coming out in May also. So we're going to wait for that release to get all the latest and greatest materials about the movie so that when we're researching it and giving you an episode, we'll have as much as we possibly can in it.
Awesome. Finally, if you guys have some things that you're doing that we didn't talk about, please send it to us and we'll put them up on our Instagram, we'll put them on social media and share how you're getting through this. We'd love to hear from you. We want to make sure you're doing well too. Thank you to everyone who reached out to us and asked how we're doing. Thank you to a couple people who reminded me to wear gloves when I posted some pictures on social media. But just take care of yourself. If you would like to reach us, you can email us at david@awardreaders.com or john@awardreaders.com, or you can follow us on all of the Instagrams, all of the social media at Award Winners.
Catch you later. Wash your hands. Stay safe.
Bow tie pimp, so fresh, so clean, prim, 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 and a